Hello, everyone. This is Melinda, member of the Holden Village community, and I serve here as your pastor. Today's sermon is focusing on a text that I picked from Exodus chapter 16, something that I've been thinking a lot about, the Israelites in the wilderness after their time in captivity. And then on today's assigned gospel text reading from the 10th chapter of John, and then also a little nod to Psalm 23, as today's Sunday in the church year is the Christ the Good Shepherd Sunday. I long to draw us all into the mystery. I long to lead us all into greener pastures and beside still waters, to leave the turbulence and chaos behind, and to protect us from that which frightens and hurts and separates. I wish I could just whisk us all away, but my dear community, we live in the wilderness. And I mean that in the biblical sense more than the literal one. The wilderness in Scripture is a place of uncertainty. It's been a place for soul searching. It's a conversation without answers, and it's where we do our deepest listening. And ironically, with that kind of setting, it's also the place where we find the ability to trust again. In the wilderness, we are ill at ease because we are hungry for that which we do not have. When the Israelites were finally freed from slavery by God through Moses, they were led into the wilderness. They were freed from their bondage under Pharaoh, and they were given this sort of in-between place. It was a place where God provided for them again and again. But they did not like the uncertainty of it all, the soul-searching place without answers. They did not much care for the wilderness, and they found themselves feeling hungry for the certainty of their past. Some people even cried out to Moses, saying that they were better off as slaves under Pharaoh, and that they should have just died by God's hand there. I think sometimes we prefer the certainty of bondage over the uncertainty of freedom. And yet, this wilderness that you and I live in now, it is not of the pandemic. This wilderness that we are in is not shaped by a village altered by gubernatorial mandates. No. The wilderness, no matter our outside circumstances, is shaped by our own inward complexity. There are external triggers, to be sure. I would never suggest that there aren't. But I believe the true source of our chaos is within. And here's the thing. I believe that when we know this and understand this, there can also be hope. Because you and I can change. We can take a breath. We can figure out ways to adapt. We may not be able to control the wilderness craziness that surrounds us, but we can work on how we respond to it, interact with it, and move it along. Oh, that's fine, you say. Move along the chaos within us, sure. But how? Well, I think this is how we land at the feet of today's assigned readings. I changed the Old Testament reading because our wilderness context is real these days. The reading from Exodus gets us upfront and personal with wilderness issues. And we need to better understand the wilderness, I think, at least, to hear what Jesus is saying in the gospel. So the wilderness, right? It's a place of turbulence and chaos. It's a place of uncertainty and broken relationship. It has things that frighten, hurt, and separate. That's the wilderness that stirs in each of us. So how do we respond? How do we interact with it and get it to move along? According to today's gospel, we do this by going through the gate. And Jesus in today's text says that he is the gate to the sheep. Now I have to say, I have never been, nor will I ever be, a shepherd of real live sheep. I've never met a full-time shepherd, and to be frank, most of the stuff I've learned about sheep has come from Bible commentaries. Now Jesus, when all this stuff was written down, he was using an analogy that people in his day were familiar with. You know, they understood the relationship between sheep and shepherds. And his people knew the protection that's required to keep sheep from wandering. But me, not so much. So I had to go to the interwebs to do a little research. And thanks to the BBC's Earth page and an article by Harriet Constable, it's like the most British name ever, Harriet Constable, I learned a few things. First and foremost, sheep are not dumb. Sheep are actually surprisingly intelligent, with impressive memory and recognition skills. They build friendships. Sheep stick up for one another in fights, and they feel sad when their friends are sent to slaughter. She found that sheep are capable of experiencing a whole range of feelings, from fear to anger, despair, boredom, and yes, happiness. Now, I'm not going to lie, for the better part of my life, I thought that Jesus using sheep as a metaphor for us, well, I thought it was kind of like a slam or an insult, like he was looking at us going, y'all are dumb. But sheep aren't dumb. They are smart and social, and they will fight you if you cross them. Researchers from the University of California observed a group of rams for over 3 years, and they discovered that the rams establish firm friendships and that they looked out for one another in times of need. And as with humans, for sheep, despair is triggered by situations which are evaluated as sudden, unfamiliar, unpredictable, and uncontrollable. That sounds all too familiar to me. Despair, being triggered by things, situations that we find to be sudden, unfamiliar, unpredictable, and uncontrollable. Finally, in the article, she noted that sheep are also one of the most destructive creatures on the planet. Now, she goes into great depth on this, but her explanation is that, you know, we humans, we like to eat and wear sheep. That's a direct quote from her article. We humans like to eat and wear sheep. And so when sheep, because they are a moneymaker, are allowed to take over the land, and her specific example, she was looking at the context of Kenya, the sheep herds increased in such a number that the rest of the wildlife in that region are put at risk because their food source is consumed by the sheep. Again, from her article, she says, our use of sheep is contributing to the destruction of forests and to climate change, and it's causing a shortage of fresh water. Which brings me back to Jesus and the gate. Jesus talks about right access to the sheep. He emphasizes that you work with the shepherd. You work with the one who knows and understands the flocks and the effect that they can have on the land around them. And that you go through the gate, a small, simple structure that minimizes the chaos. See, the folks that were trying to get at the sheep, the ones that were trying to steal from the community, they don't use the gate. They scramble over walls, pretending that those barriers don't exist. They try to sneak in. And Jesus calls them thieves and bandits. The first word thief is kind of like a petty thief, according to the Greek. And the second term, bandit, really has a deeper meaning. It's somebody who serves as an insurrectionist, more of like a social upturner, one who might try and steal from the elite and create societal change. And Jesus speaks against their ways. Now, to be clear, Jesus is all for societal change and for speaking truth to power. It's kind of part of his essence. But he seems to be setting a standard here. And perhaps it is something to address the chaos. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "I am the gate." And a few chapters after this, he will say, "I am the way." For too long, people of faith have treated Jesus in this story like the person you gotta know to get past the bouncer in some elite club. Like you walk up to the bouncer and they ask, "Have you met Jesus? Have you accepted him?" And you say, "Yes, I know Jesus." And they say, "Come on in, enjoy the party." But that's thinking of the gate like it's some sort of barrier. The gate is not a barrier. It is a passageway into community, a way of maintaining and supporting the health of that community. What if Jesus being the way, being the gate, is a way of saying that there's a certain way of being in the world that grants us access, yes, but access that allows for a healthy community? And again, moving things along to a place of health. I mean, we all want to move the chaos along. But that's internal work, first and always. We have to know our own chaos, to understand our own fears and pain first. And I think that's what Jesus was forever modeling. There are no shortcuts here. There's no scrambling over some back wall to the sheepfold. There's no pretending that there's no barriers, ways to kind of protect and care for our behavior with and for each other. I mean, Jesus never tried to manipulate or control. He explained and he taught. He invited people into conversations. And he sought to build trust slowly. He was about healing and patience and sacrifice. I mean, in his lifetime, he entered the wilderness again and again. He was willing to do his own inner work, the soul searching, the wading through unanswerable questions. And then, of course, the deep listening to himself, to others, and to God. Jesus as the gate represents all these things. He's not a name to drop, but rather a way of being. Oh, I long to draw us all into the mystery. I wish I could lead us all to greener pastures and beside still waters, to leave the turbulence and chaos behind. I wish I could protect us all from that which frightens and hurts and separates us from one another. But my dear friends, we live in the wilderness. And I'm afraid to say that being human is about being in the wilderness. For God's people, the Israelites, their time in the wilderness taught them about themselves. It taught them the real difference between scarcity and abundance. It taught them about trust and interdependence. It taught them how to care for one another. May it be so with us. Know that you are loved. Know that you are loved and that you are definitely not alone. May we find a way forward together. Amen.